The lepers came, and keeping their distance, they cried out to Jesus, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." Notice, they did not ask to be healed. Healing is implied in their cry, however. Healing is clearly, observably, outwardly what they needed. As lepers, they were ostracized from the community. They could not live among the people. They were shunned. They were ignored. They were rejected. They dared not even come close to the rabbi from Nazareth for fear of infecting him with their own impurity, with their own defilement. So they came but remained a distance away and begged for mercy. And Jesus' reply seems rather disjointed, actually, not exactly a direct answer to what they were asking for. Instead of saying, "You are healed," he says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." That's all he says. Go and show yourselves to the priests. Huh? You'd think he would say, "You're healed. Now go and show yourselves to the priest." You'd think he'd say, Your sins are forgiven. Go and show yourselves to the priest. You might think he'd say, "You are cleansed of your disease. Go and show yourself to the priest." But he doesn't. Instead, he gives a simple order to show themselves to the priests, to show themselves to those who in their society could proclaim, "You are clean," could proclaim, "You have been healed." Why didn't Jesus heal them? Why didn't he say, "You are healed"? Why did he just give them an order and a direction to go do something? It's because so frequently the barrier between us and true spiritual healing is an unwillingness to obey. Implied in Jesus' command is that there would be a reason for them to go present themselves to the priests. And notice they all obeyed. All 10 of these lepers, they all obeyed Jesus immediately, without hesitation, without seeing that they had been healed, without even knowing they had been healed. They heard him give the order and they went. And while they were going, it says, while they were going, they were made clean. In the very act of obedience, in the very act of doing what Jesus told them to do, in the very act of following his directive, they discover that they have been made clean. Do we act? Do we obey Jesus? Do we do what Jesus tells us to do? Do we respond to his directive and act immediately without looking to see if we've already received that which we're asking for? Do we act? Do we respond in faith? Do we do what Jesus tells us to do? Usually not. We don't. Jesus gives us lots of directives, lots of commands, lots of orders. But we usually don't do them very well. Let's just take an example. Jesus tells us to love. Do we love? We will love some of the people, some of the time. We will love those we like. We will love those we want to be around. We will love those we like playing with. We will love those who are fun and pleasant and easy to get along with. We will love those who are lovable. But Jesus doesn't put any limit on the amount of love or the magnitude of love. He says, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." Jesus, are you nuts? My neighbor is weird. And you expect me to love him? He's nuts. And you expect me to love him? Jesus said, "Love your neighbor," but did he really mean love my weird neighbor? Did he really mean love Jeff? My weird neighbor? Yes! Listen to that. The voice of truth right here. He says, yes. Love thy weird neighbor as thyself, for thou art weird. Amen. We don't love. We find excuses for not loving. We find excuses for limiting how we love, who we love, where we love, why we love. We will love this group of people over here, but not that group of people over there. We want to pick and choose who we love, where we love, why we love, and how we love them. We don't love with the unrestricted, unlimited love of God. We resist the directive, the commandment to love, even though Jesus said that we are to love. Okay, let's set that one aside, because obviously we failed to love. What about another commandment of Jesus? How about Jesus telling us to forgive? Oh, I'll forgive people if they grovel on the floor and beg for mercy. I'll forgive them if they go away and I don't ever have to look at them again. I'll forgive them if they won't do it again, or if this was the very first and only time they've ever done anything to me. And yet Jesus said that you should forgive 70 times 7. In other words, you should always be forgiving. We are stingy with our love, and yet Jesus taught us to pray, saying, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We're failures at love, and we're failures at forgiveness. We might as well quit, because we can't obey. At our very best, our faithful obedience is like those 9 lepers who went away, who obeyed Jesus. I'm serious, 9. Who obeyed Jesus, did what Jesus said, and went and showed themselves to the priest. We are like in our very best moments, we're like those 9 lepers who act in faith, who step out in faith, who respond to the directive of Jesus, who obey the command of Christ, and go and do what Jesus said. In our best moments, in our very best moments, we're like the 9 lepers who've gone off now to show ourselves to the priests. But there's that one leftover leper. Because you see, following Jesus, faith is far more than just obedience. It's also giving thanks. You see, that one leper, that the 10th leper who came back to Jesus, who fell prostrate before Jesus and who proclaimed, oh, my Lord, thank you. Praise for what I have received, for your mercy unto me. Thank you, Almighty God, for giving me this healing. Thank you, Almighty God, for blessing me, for overflowing in my life. This one leper was a Samaritan. The one person amongst those 10 lepers who could not show himself to the priest, because the priest wouldn't accept him even if he had been cleaned, even if he had been healed, even if he had been delivered. He was a Samaritan. He was outside the accepted Jewish religious community. He was one who had been rejected, who had not been welcomed in, who would not be received regardless of the healing touch of God. And so instead of showing himself to the priest, which he could not do, he showed himself to Jesus and thanked God for the mercy he had received. Jesus' response is interesting. Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? Then he said to him, get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Yes, those other nine were obeying Jesus' directive. They were obeying with faith. They were exercising faith. And yes, indeed, they were cleansed. They were healed. It says, as they went, as they obeyed Jesus, as they were on their way to show themselves to the priests, they recognized that they were made well. Yes, their faith made them well too. But obedience is only the first part of faith. It's only the beginning of faith. Faith is also thanksgiving. Do we truly give thanks for the wonderful gifts that we have received? For our faith, for our church, for our families, for our friends, for our communities, for our colleagues, for our opportunities, for our challenges, for our lives? Do we truly give thanks and praise to God for the gifts that we have received? For the most part, we are the other nine lepers. In our very best moments, we obey. We do what Jesus said. Sometimes grudgingly, sometimes questioningly, sometimes haltingly, sometimes frightfully, but we do it anyway because we know, well, Jesus said it. That settles it. But very rarely are we the 10th leper who, recognizing our true need for grace, our true need for acceptance, our true need for forgiveness, our true need for total transformation, rarely do we turn around and give thanks to God for what we have received, for the mercy we have received, for the grace that we have received. True faith is not just obedience. It certainly is obedience. But not just. It's also thanksgiving. We call Holy Communion the Eucharist. The Eucharist is, the term Eucharist, the word Eucharist, is a New Testament Greek word meaning thanksgiving or thankfulness or giving thanks. And we call Holy Communion thanksgiving because in it, we proclaim that Christ feeds us in this holy divine meal with his very real presence. We call this meal, this Thanksgiving, this Eucharist, this Holy Communion, the Eucharist, because it also connects us together and makes us one, one body in Christ, brothers and sisters together. Within here in this congregation and with congregations all over the world of all Christian denominations without restriction, it makes us one in Jesus Christ. We call it the Eucharist because it feeds us. We call it the Eucharist because it knits us together and makes us one. And we call it the Eucharist. We call it the Thanksgiving meal because at the table we become a sacrifice. An offering, a gift to God. We come and we kneel and we say thanks to God for having fed us, for having made us part of the family of faith, and for accepting us as an offering, as a sacrifice, for God then to use to reach a broken world. A hurting world, a world in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a world in need of the good news of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, a world that needs to hear and receive the grace of Jesus, a world that needs to hear and receive of the love of Christ, a world that needs to know that it is not alone, even in its darkest moments, even in its deepest painful moments of illness. The world that needs to hear of the grace of Jesus is a world that Jesus sends us to. We become an offering. We become a sacrifice placed on the altar for God to transform and to use to share the love of God with all the world. Look in your communion liturgy. You'll see, following the words of institution, some very powerful words, words that sometimes we read through these prayers, we don't really pay attention to the Eucharistic liturgy. Following the words of institution, let me get my bulletin. Following the words of institution, where we recount what Jesus said on the night in which he was betrayed, the prayer continues. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving. We offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Have you ever noticed those words before? The idea, the conception of sacrifice in communion, in the Christian life, is one that Protestants shy away from. And yet it's part of our doctrinal faith. The idea that we become a sacrifice to God. We make ourselves an offering to God of our very selves for God to take and transform, heal, mold, and remake. We are chipped and broken pots, and we come to God, and God resurfaces us and transforms us. We are lepers coming for mercy, and God takes us and heals us and transforms us to make us fit vessels for conveying the love of God to a world that needs to hear the gospel. That's what happens when we come to the table of the Lord. We are fed with the mysterious real presence of Jesus. We are knitted together as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And we become a sacrifice, an offering of praise and thanksgiving to God, for God to take us and shape us and mold us and remake us. And we give thanks to God that He will receive us and use us as an incredible instrument for sharing the grace of God with all. Let us be that 10th leper. Let us not just be like the 9 lepers who hear the directive of Jesus and go in faith to obey Christ. Then let us see the healing touch. Let us experience the grace of God. Let us recognize the functional mercy of God in our lives. And let us turn and return to Jesus with thanksgiving, with true Eucharist, and allow God to take us and transform us into that beautiful means of grace for others to know the love of God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Most merciful God,
We confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come and he would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of the faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ is alive again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen, amen, amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake the one loaf. The bread which we break, it is indeed a means of sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks, it is indeed a means of sharing in the outpoured blood of Christ. Body of Christ broken.
Let me dwell in your presence, Lord. Let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of your word by your grace upon grace. You set me
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.